So we've come to the second half of a spiritual banquet, and our service this afternoon will consist of two split sermons. So for split sermon number one, which will be presented to us by a deacon from the Murfreesboro, Tennessee church near Nashville, but it is not Nashville, it is Murfreesboro, if I pronounced it correctly. So to present us a message with a title, Don't Be Afraid of the Light, we have Jason Fritz.
Okay. Good afternoon. To the Italian brethren, please. Okay. Buon pomeriggio alla mia famiglia italiana. Noi visitatori stranieri, vi ringraziamo per la vostra ospitalità e l'amore. I know I destroyed that, but I do mean it from the heart. And for the Americans that did not understand that, I will not be doing the entire sermon in Italian. But I did want to say to my Italian family, good afternoon. Good afternoon to all of you as well. And also, the second sentence was from the foreigners. We thank you for your hospitality and your love. So I hope that was okay to give that to from all of you as well. You know, we've had many messages this week on way of living that we're supposed to be emulating here, learning about, outwardly learning to be living and doing things that are Christ-like. Both messages this morning were exceptional in helping us see the ways that God shows us through His plan and this feast how we need to live our lives. But I want to take it a step further, and I want to make it more personal, more inward. I want us to reflect and to focus on one point today. And you're probably going to get bored. You're thinking, I'm driving it into the ground. Why doesn't he go on to something else? But this one point, brethren, to me is very, very important. It's more important in our lives than anything we can do. You know, we come to God's feast, hopefully with a focus and understanding that the holy days are part of God's plan for us. It's not for all the world today. It's for us. Those that have been called and those that have been given God's Holy Spirit. We've been shown a way that is based on coming out of this world and becoming more Christ-like in all we do, in everything, our actions, our responses to our surroundings. The only problem with that is we're still living in a world that is controlled by Satan, and he wants nothing more than to keep us in darkness. Worrying about the cares of this world, focusing on the non-important issues that go on around us, letting our wants and desires keep us from becoming the true Christians that God has called us to be. You know, these last couple of weeks as we prepared for the feast, as we tried to get everything done within our company, we have a family business. And that family business, because it's feast time and we have contracts, and we have responsibilities to people that expect us to finish. And they look to us and they're like, well, it's got to get done. So days turn into nights, and long nights turn into early mornings. And the last week or so before the feast, we find ourselves so engrossed in so much work that the time to study and to pray and to put God first and to prepare for the feast somehow gets pushed aside. And I know if I were to ask a lot of you in your jobs, many would probably have to admit that those same things kind of happen to you too. But what I want us to really look at is I want us to realize that it's so important for us that when we go through these times, we don't give up. We don't forget the purpose of God's light in us. We don't forget that we are dealing in a world surrounding us with the influence of Satan and the darkness that he tries so desperately to keep us in. This afternoon, brethren, I want to look at examples from the Word of God that should drive us from the darkness and keep us from being afraid of the light. Let's begin by John, in the book of John, John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 21. John chapter 3 and verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Brethren, when I read this, it makes it clear to me that there are many that are actually afraid of the light. God has opened their eyes to something and they don't know how to handle it. We were talking at lunch today about people we've known that were in God's church for many, many years, and they're not with us today. They're not only in a different organization, they've completely lost God's way of life. They have stopped keeping the Sabbath. They have stopped keeping the holy days. The light that was in them has gone out. And God says that even he will remove it for their protection. What they knew, he will take away. We have to be so careful that we realize how important that light is in each and every one of us, that we don't turn our backs on it, that we don't allow that light to go out. You know, when you walk into a room, and let's say it's early evening or even dark, and the room is dimly lit, and things look okay at first. You look around the room, everything seems to be in its place until you turn the light on. And then you see the cobwebs in the corner or the dust bunnies on the floor. Or in my case, you see the dog laying on the bed because he knows there's nobody in there. And we have to run him off. And he'll lay there quietly as long as that light's off. It's only when he hears you come in that he raises his head up and goes, okay, yep, you caught me. Starts wagging his tail like, please forgive me. And we have to remember that everything around us becomes so much sharper in the light. And it's that light that helps us to see inside us. The light helps us to see the ugliness that's in us. And it's there because we are human. We have the spirit of the flesh. And yet we're all to be striving and committed to the process of changing, of being converted to the Spirit of God. When we come into the light, it shows us how dirty and how cluttered and a mess we are. When you compare the fruits of God's Holy Spirit to the fruits of the flesh, I'm sure most of us would like to say, well, I have a lot more fruits of the Spirit. But maybe in reality, we have more fruits of the flesh. Maybe we have more things we have to look at more closely. We have to be honest and say, yeah, there's some things in there I need to change. God's light exposes all that to us. It's something that's very personal. It's something that only you and God can see. You know, you can lie or cheat or steal. You can do a lot of things and no one can see it but God and you. So if you're going to make that choice to do things God's way, if you're going to allow his light to live within you, to guide you, you can't be afraid of what it's going to cause you to do, to make changes in your life, changes in the way you live. Years ago, I worked for a company, and I had a boss that convinced me to go to work there, and after I did, he became my boss, and we were friends. And I don't know if it was because of that friendship or because he was bipolar or what it was exactly, but every year when I would go to the feast, he would blow my phone up every day. And if I didn't answer, he'd leave me nasty messages. Why aren't you picking up your phone? You better call me back. I'm not going to wait much longer. Imagine going through feasts like that, every day seeing a message on your phone and knowing who it's from. And some days, he would be just the opposite. He would completely flip his personality, and I would get a totally different sense. Now, let me tell you something. I'm very human. When I got those phone calls, call me back now. My anger would get stirred up. I was at God's feast. I was with God's people. I was with my family in God's church. And he wanted everything to control me, to tear me down. I don't blame him for it. I know Satan really wants that darkness to completely envelop us, to pull us away from the light. But unfortunately, when he brought me down, it brought my family down too, because my attitude changed. It wasn't something I'm proud of. It wasn't something that we need to... We have to find a way to overcome it. A couple weeks ago, I had a job. Now, it's a different situation now. We own our own company. I have a little more say in what we do and what we don't. And I had a call from a company that we've worked for years, and the man was very belligerent with me. And he was very negative, almost bullying me to try and do things he wanted me to do. And those feelings started coming back. And I'm thinking, this isn't going to be good. I can't do this. He's asking me to do something that's going to take up my time and occupy my mind throughout the feast. He is going to disrupt everything that I'm trying to do to honor and worship God. So I called him and I told him, I'm not going to take this job. I didn't sign the contract, and I'm not going to do it. Oh, man, I'm surprised you all didn't hear it at your homes. Needless to say, he was not happy. He proceeded to tell me I'll never work for that company again. Now, we've worked for him for 10 years, never failed on a job. But he was going to make sure we would never get the opportunity if he had that ability. And I told him, I said, well, if that's the case, so be it. If you have that power, I'm willing to take that chance. Because I've learned a little bit over the years that things are not necessarily the same in my life as they were several years ago. You know, it's funny, I go back and I look at from 8 years ago. That was the last time we were here in Italy. 8 years ago, I had three daughters here with me. I had two married children and two grandchildren. Today I have four married children, and I have 7.5 grandchildren. The half is over there in the back of the room, still in the oven. Things change over the years, brethren. Do we? And I say that because each of us individually have to focus on this one point of looking inside yourself. I can't look inside you. Only God can. But you can look inside yourself. You can ask yourself, am I changing? Is there something better in me today? When the light is turned on, when God opens our mind to see our flaws, how weak and human we are as we live in Satan's world, it can be a very scary reality check for all of us. Because all of us, unfortunately, still have a lot of flaws. I'm not up here shining as a light, as it talks about in the Old Testament. You can see that I'm human, and God can see all of our flaws. We have to be willing to look and see them ourselves. So we have to begin the journey to change what we truly see in us that has to be gotten rid of, what the light exposes to us. Where do we start? Well, remember John 3:21 tells us that we who do the truth, we are looking to change and learn how to imitate Christ. The light that comes from Christ shows us our deeds clearly. We start towards the light when we finally realize we have no other option but to come out of the darkness. Let's turn to Psalms 119. Psalm 119. We're going to go to verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Is God's word, brethren, is that the light that you're looking at to light your path? Our journey to the conversion, brethren, begins with God lighting our path through his word. Let's turn back to John 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. John 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 9, verse 5 says basically the same thing. I'm not going to turn there right now, brethren. You can write it in your notes. But the question really is, brethren, do we get it yet? Do we understand that it's not just the light of God's way lighting our path? It's got to be a light that's here. We heard some of that this morning, brethren. It all starts right here, in your heart. You have to change from here. It can't be just an outward thing. I know all of you have seen people over the years that have come to church, and I know this isn't a pretty term, but I call them Sabbath Christians. They put on their suit and tie. They grab their Bible, they go to church, and after they leave church, they go back home and they go back to the world, and you wonder how much of God's light is in them. And I don't say that in a mean way. I say it in a caring way, because they're part of my family, and I want to see them grow as much as I want to see myself grow. We have to see a way of doing things. Just like when we come here to keep God's commanded feasts, we make a conscious decision to live differently on a daily basis. A daily basis, a change, a way of seeing, even when there isn't any light. It always amazed me in the beginning where in Genesis 1, it tells us in the first few verses that God divided the darkness from the light. Let's go back to Genesis. I always liked this section. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. Genesis chapter 1 and beginning in verse 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. You know what the strange part about that is for me, brethren? Is then I go and I read verse 14. And it says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be there for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Well, if he created light and darkness and day and darkness and day and night 3 days earlier, and there was no sun and moon, what was he using to light everything up? What was he using to differentiate between day and light? Day and dark, excuse me. He didn't create the sun and moon until 3 days later. So where was the light coming from? Well, it's the same light we have today. The same light that's supposed to be in here that comes from God's Holy Spirit working through us. God is the light, brethren. God is what guides us. It's his strength and power that comes from him being the supreme creator of all things. And we have that knowledge of his ways when we have his spirit living and working through and in us. It should be a light, brethren, that can never be quenched. We have many examples of God's light being the way of overcoming darkness. And it becomes even more apparent for us when Christ comes to earth as a man. We read John 3 earlier. Let's go back to John 3 again. This time we'll begin in verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him," I have this underlined and written above it in my notes, "those that see the light. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Brethren, we can't be afraid to walk in righteousness. God's way of life requires we come out of the darkness, no matter how difficult we think it might be. The light of God's truth must be brighter in us today than it was yesterday. It is a way of seeing that becomes clearer to those and clearer to all of us the closer we get to God. When we are walking in the darkness and stumble, it's because the light is not in us. John 11, let's turn back there a couple pages. John chapter 11 and verse 9. John chapter 11 and verse 9. "And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." Christ has always been the light in this world, brethren, from the time of Adam to the time he walked on this earth to today. His way of truth and love for our brother is a light that keeps us from stumbling as we travel around the world. We must walk in the light to have fellowship with one another. I remember the last time I was here, I was preparing this message. The last time I was here 8 years ago, there was a man who gave a message. And he had pins, and when you clicked them on, a light came on. And I know some of you remember that. I still have that pin. I tried to find it to bring it with me, but that pin, you would click it, and the light would come on, and his sermon was about we need to be a light when we leave here, a light to the world. And it's true, brethren, we need to be a light to the world. So how can we be a light if God's light is not in us? Let's turn to John 15. John chapter 15, and we're going to read beginning in verse 4. John chapter 15 and verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Brethren, we have been promised a way that if we are looking to God, if we are abiding in his light and his light and spirit abide in us, God has promised us we can have whatever our heart's desires are. But it begins with a way of thinking. It begins when we choose to go down a different path, when we understand that there are things that we're doing wrong in our life. And looking inwardly, we see that darkness and we choose to walk a different way. You know, God talks about us being as little children. And there's something about little children, about their sweetness, their innocence. By the way, if you're looking for an example of sweetness, my grandson's right over there. He can show you what that looks like. It's a different thing, brethren. Children have an almost unnerving ability to trust anyone. They were able to forgive and to love openly. Can we do that, brethren? Can we learn to be as a child? Or has our knowledge and our hardness taken that ability away from us? We have to be able to see the darkness within us so we can ask God to help us remove it from our minds. Not because any of us are special in any way that we have somehow come to deserve this, but it's God's grace that we are given the chance to change. We can see that in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Laboring daily, brethren, to keep God's light shining in us is our requirement. Now, I know many of you do not know me personally, but I'll give you just a brief synopsis. See, I grew up in the church. My first feast was in 1959. That means this is my 61st. Okay? I've heard thousands of sermons. I've been to many different feast sites around the world. I have heard messages. I have seen people in God's church come and go. But the one thing that keeps coming back to me is, where am I? I've been here long enough. I should be a brighter light up here. You should all have to put sunglasses on to look at me. But it's not there. Because I still have so many things I have to overcome and change. 60 years I've been here. It's all I know to be in part of God's church. And yet, the frailty of what I see in myself, the things I have to continue to work on, the things I have to continue to change, the things that each of us have to be willing to look at within ourselves and say, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to change. God's light will be my light. God's spirit will be my spirit. And we have to make that change. Let's turn to Galatians 5 and verse 19. Because, brethren, if we are not changing, if we fail to change the way that God expects of us, there are consequences. Galatians 5 and verse 19. In verse 19 of Galatians 5, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, now's the tough one. When you look at yourself, honestly, do any of those things fit you? See, I'm not here to judge. I can look at myself and see my shortcomings. But we have to be willing to look at ourselves, brethren, each of us. We have to be willing and understand that we can conquer anything if we rely on God. He has to be the number one priority in our lives. We cannot be afraid of his light working in and through us to overcome the ugliness that is in us. Job shows us in several examples what is to become of the wicked, those that have allowed the light to go out and darkness to take over. I'm not going to go there right now. If you want to write down Job, chapter 18 and verse 5 and read that to the end of the chapter. It will give you a very clear picture of what happens when the light goes out. Brethren, we've been given a very special gift from God when He called us and opened our minds to His plan for mankind. That knowledge gives us a chance at peace that this world can never find. They can't. They have no way of finding peace in this earth because they don't have God's Spirit yet. But it is promised. And we celebrate this feast because it shows us of a time that is coming when all will have that opportunity. Psalms 27 verse 1 says, God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Brethren, we don't need to fear anything. We need to rely on God and His light burning brightly in us. For the last scripture, if you'll turn to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to begin in verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Brethren, that's us. That's who He's talking to, each of us in this room. That's us. Here in our heart is that light shining. This morning, brethren, there was a song that I sang called Together. And the reason I bring this up, because it is a very emotional song, maybe not to all of you, but things change in our lives. You know, this feast is the same layout, week, day to day, as last year. You all remember that? Last year the feast was Monday to Monday. Today's the Sabbath. Sorry. Last year at this time, we were at the feast in Galveston, Texas. And I performed that song for special music. And some good friends of ours were there. They're from our church area, and we had spent the feast with them, with a couple, two couples actually. And that night, Saturday night, she died at the feast. A year ago today. A couple weeks later, I sang that song at a memorial for her. Her husband asked me to, one of my very good friends. You see, brethren, we're not promised anything. We have to stop and realize what God has given us through our calling. And I know it can be very intimidating at times. I know recognizing the challenges and the changes we have to make, it can be very difficult. But that light is there, brethren. That light is there to guide our path every day. We cannot be afraid to ask questions. We cannot be afraid to doubt that we have things to overcome and to change. We cannot be afraid to become more like God in everything we say and do. We've been created in His image, His children, to reign with Christ. So, brethren, I beg of you, I ask, I implore you, be strong, be faithful, and be willing to come out of the darkness to the path of light that will lead us to the coming kingdom of God.